Podcasting 2.0 for November 29th, 2024, episode 202, Walletpocalypse. Hey, hello, everybody. Oh, yeah, bright and early. We got the coffee flowing. Time for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. This is where we discuss it all. And there's a lot to talk about today, including the Walletpocalypse, or whatever we're going to call it. This is the only boardroom that serves brunch on casual Fridays. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. The man who can stop a hell thread dead in its tracks. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
Is this, are we business casual today? Or
it's
is very, this,
yeah, no, it's, okay. It's not even business casual, just casual.
I wore jeans. Yeah, I just want to make sure that's okay.
Yeah, jeans. Yeah, you have a t-shirt or I got a hoodie, so I figured that would be good.
Yeah, I've got a hoodie. I'm good.
Here we are, everybody, in the United States. It is the day after. My mic sounds weird. Does this thing sound weird to you?
It sounds okay to me.
Yeah?
Yeah, it sounds
well,
normal.
Well, I made a huge mistake this morning.
Oh, no.
What? Yep, I got to be honest. I did it. It was
you installed updates.
Yep, I sure did.
You guess what? I
what?
Did too.
What for the Roadcaster?
No, for Ubuntu.
Oh, the Road. I've been refreshing the Roadcaster to see if there's been an update for a long time. And
installed updates on the Roadcaster this morning?
Yes.
Oh, that was deadly.
I know. It was very, I'm like, why am I even doing this? Because you can first download it and it's downloading and you scan the code to see what the update will be. And I'm looking at it. It's like, new virtual inputs. And this is an exciting update. Install. Oh no. Why am I doing that?
Yeah. You're asking yourself why you're saying I shouldn't do this as you hit the button.
Yep.
Yeah. I know that.
Yep.
Yeah. There must be a psychological thing with that where you're like, I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway.
It's complete stupidity is what it is. Anyway, I did it. There we go. So we are early. It is the day after Thanksgiving here in the United States, a day where we honor people with turkeys and funny hats and belt buckles on their shoes.
And their belt buckles on their hats, too.
And on the hats is right. And today, of course, even though Thanksgiving is not celebrated, and I think Canada celebrates their own Thanksgiving in October. Mm-hmm. We do today, Friday, is a great tradition in the United States, which is, I think, a global phenomenon at this point, known as Black Friday.
Black Friday. Yes.
Black Friday. We're celebrating that by purchasing nothing.
It's more like Black Friday is less of a day now and more like a month. I mean, it lasts forever.
It's true. It is it's kind of disgusting.
Oh, it's horrible. Like that's the most, it's the worst part of, capitalism is the best of the worst thing that we have. No other economic system has the benefit to bad stuff. It's 9:30 in the morning. I'm struggling here.
It's all right. I'm having trouble listening to you. Don't worry.
No other economic system has a closer to one-to-one pro-con ratio than capitalism. But that doesn't mean that there's no cons. And one of them is just rampant commercialization of everything in our entire life. And Black Friday represents the worst of that.
Yeah. And it really hit me this morning as I was looking at my Bible app. And the Bible app had some Black Friday offer.
Oh, no, no.
I'm like, what is that?
What? Oh, man.
thank you, Chad F. I just pinged the pod. I completely forgot to update to live and hit the pod ping. So that's why there's not everybody's here, I'm sure.
And of course, it's Thanksgiving and it's holiday. It's the winter holiday season. So I woke up sick two days ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I usually get sick around Thanksgiving and then it goes away sometime in March. So,
yeah.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
My dog caught on fire last night.
What? Okay, I'll bite. Your dog caught on fire.
Yeah. So we had the kids over for Thanksgiving supper, and had all the we had all the stuff, like, you know, I mean, it's such a great Thanksgiving meal. And Melissa had put some of these little candles out on the windowsills in the dining room.
I'm already feeling it. Yeah.
And these are old. It's an old house, and so the windows are less. They're really stretchy. You know, they go down real low. They go down to about 2 feet off the floor. And my dog is like 105 pounds. When I'm sitting down, his head comes up to almost my shoulder.
Yeah, he's a big
boy.
So,
yeah, big guy. And he's a Great Pyrenees, so he's in full fluff right now, like 3-4 inches of fluff all over him, because for winter. And he comes over and is like staring at me. We're playing a game after dinner. We're playing a board game, and he's staring at me. And I look at him, and everybody's all at once sort of like stare, like turn and look, because we hear this like sizzle.
Crackling sound.
Yeah, we hear a crackling sizzle. And we all look over at him, and then I'm like, oh my God, he's on fire. His butt was over one of the candles, and his butt was on fire. And so I like jumped up and like started hitting him and knocking the fire off. He never even knew, because he's so fluffy.
Here you go.
Yes, that was it. That was it.
What is that I smell over here in the Podsage household?
He thought I was giving him a spanking for he did something wrong, but he didn't do it. He never even noticed.
Didn't even realize that.
I'm telling you, this fire was as big as my hand,
and it
was.
Oh no.
Yeah,
that's great.
He's got a big chunk out of his fur on the back of his butt.
Oh man! I've heard good Thanksgiving stories. This beats most of them. A friend of mine his grandma keeled over dead into her plate of food at the table. Yeah, that happened
that's
once.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
And then they just propped her back up and kept on eating.
No, he did
yes.
not. Shut up.
Yes. While they waited, because she was old and they were kind of expecting it.
That's not an excuse. I don't know. I feel like that beats the dog story.
No, I like the dog's on fire and the dog doesn't even know it.
I bet it smelled horrible in the room. Burnt dog fur is not the right ambiance for Thanksgiving.
So we're doing the board meeting, first of all, because, well, we can, but also we really wanted to, and we weren't able to do. Now, did we not do a board meeting last week? That's right. Yeah, we didn't. Did we miss one?
No, we did. Yeah, we did. We did 2 weeks ago. We missed a board meeting.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No. But Oscar couldn't make it, and we wanted to have Oscar on to talk about the wallet apocalypse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How everything's broken.
Yes. And and in between the last board meeting and today's board meeting, it has been. It's been a bumpy ride for some of the passengers on the Good Airship Podcasting 2.0.
Hell thread. Yeah.
There was a hell thread, but you know, as hell threads go and as communities go, wow, congratulations to all of us for kind of pulling through it like a huge dysfunctional family reunion where you know, a fight broke out and then, you know, people are like, you know, threatening to throw chairs and there's a bloody nose or two, but then it all kind of just, it kind of calmed down. And I was proud of us. I really was. I was like, look at us. We didn't explode. No one rage quit and forked off, you know, the whole namespace or anything like that. Seriously, for a 4-year-old community, that was impressive.
Gosh, yeah.
That was,
yeah.
And I was just as guilty of it as anybody else.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody just kind of, you know, griped and yelled at each other and then sat down and had Chex Mix.
Chex Mix.
It was fine. It was fine. I mean, of course, everybody's gripey and aggravated because, you know, we have to change fundamentals here and it sucks. I mean, there's nothing great about having to go and re-engineer a spec that everybody was already used to. That's never going to make anybody happy. It doesn't make me happy. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And the thing is, like, specs, you know, I'm sure we'll get into this with Oscar, but specs will, they become a victim of their own success.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. And you just really can't, you can't let that own you. When the changes need to happen, you have to change them. And if you're not willing to ever break anything and move to a different model, the spec will just die. It's just like you can't force it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's time to break some stuff, and it sucks.
Well, so there were a couple of things going on that I noticed. First, there was a general misunderstanding of terms, of different elements that were being talked about. Not everybody has the same level of understanding of the Lightning Network or different payment protocols. There are also different agendas. There's a general, not everyone sees a wallet as, you know, a listener wallet as something different from a podcaster wallet. Mm-hmm. There's the app developers have different issues that they need to deal with for payment wallets versus podcasters. Mm-hmm. There's also what is kind of beautiful and also out of the ordinary for our development community is that we don't really sit down and all write a spec on GitHub and then say, okay, this is it, let's go and implement it. No. We break off into little places and we go, hey, three or four people are in that corner and let me try and build this over here. And I think that was quite confusing for, I know it was probably for Boomy, who was like, well, what are you doing? You have no spec, you know, and he hasn't really been a part of that process where we just run with scissors and make stuff happen. And so I wound up actually in the Stephen Bell Telegram group, the general group of the Stephen Bell Telegram cinematic universe.
And TCU.
Yes.
Yeah, no, the SBU.
SBCU. Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And you know, Eric PP was in there. And, and then there's also a contingent. I'm just trying to get it all out there and make sure I covered all the bases. You know, when we started this, Podcast Index, just to go back to the genesis, was really for one main reason, is to enable people to have a place to develop apps and services on an index, a database with an API of all podcasts who want to be published in it. And without fear of, political or any other reasons other than strict 100% U.S. legal code, where we couldn't have that RSS feed made available, which I think has been, or, we're just taking stuff out that has, that is not, like a test 1-2 from Anchor. So we try to kick that out. So that was for deplatforming. That it all started with Apple taking things out of their index that everyone was talking to. Mm-hmm. And then the financial platforming, which for over 4 years ago was pretty rampant. It's not that it's let up that much. And that kind of crossed over into value for value with the idea that you could be sending value back to a podcaster while you were listening, initially streaming. And then later on, the group actually developed the Boost and the Boostagram. And we chose the Lightning Network because at the time, and arguably still is, the best kind of open source way to do this with micropayments.
Best, and the term best encompasses a whole lot of things. Like, it's not just, it doesn't mean technical. It also means best as far as like technical trade-offs, adoption of the underlying currency, just all kinds of things. Yes.
Yeah. And so what that brought with it was, people with Bitcoin ethos. Mm-hmm. That's been a kind of a bubbling under thing in general. So, and we get into these almost religious things like, well, You're using Hive for podcasting 2.0. It's a shit coin. You're not real Bitcoin. It's not. Right, we're just trying to make solutions, make stuff that works, that will work long term. So kind of stuff like that came into it. And so, you know, and that just made for a big ball of gooey mess. Mm-hmm. And so here we are. And it's all Oscar's fault. Good morning, Oscar. How are you?
Hey guys.
It's all your
Happy
fault.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yes, first
thank
of
you.
All.
Thank you very much, yeah. Brother. Thank you. You guys don't have any type of, I mean, certainly not the same day. Do you have any kind of Thanksgiving type celebrations in the UK?
I think we probably have the same vibe at Christmas. You know, everyone right. just getting together and having fun and, you know, spending time with family. So it's probably a similar vibe.
And then the next day, y'all hit each other with boxing gloves. Boxing day
is the football day in the UK though, because they play, I think it's the only day of the year where every team in the Premier League plays, so most people are just sat at home watching football.
Right, that's very similar to our Christmas, but certainly Thanksgiving here it's like everyone's, you know, having fun, being thankful, and in the corner of the TV is with the New York versus Dallas. You know, it's like we got to have that game on. Got to see what's going on with our team at all
or
times.
Detroit versus somebody.
You know. Yeah. So, Dave, where do you want to start with Oscar? You want to hit him below the knee, and then I'll kind of crouch behind him, and you push him over me so he falls backwards. One of those.
Yeah. If you gut punch him into me, mm-hmm. I'll get. Yeah. Let's see. I think I want to start with with what you released last week, the proof of concept for the pay a podcast. It's open source, I believe, but have you opened that to, is it a public repo yet?
Yeah. So I've actually just updated it today. Okay. That's kind of why I was scrambling around, but yeah, it's on a new domain now.
Oh, and yes. I see it's gone. The original is gone.
The full repo is open source, and also as part of the repo, I've actually worked on a library that you can pull into your own project if you want. So what I'll do is just maybe like share the links in.
Stick it in the boardroom and I can pick it up.
Yeah, if you stick it in there, okay. That'd be great.
So yeah, basically there's three URLs that are useful. There's the main URL, which I just went and bought a domain called podpay.org. Deployed it there. And then there's the GitHub link, which has the full link to basically what you see on podpay.org, which is the demo site. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a JSR, which is a JavaScript package manager. There's also a link to the library that the live demo is using. So if anyone else wants to, it looks like that last link didn't go through, the JSR one. But yeah, that's like a library that you can use that makes like some of the stuff around LN address a little bit easier. So yeah, that's where the demo is. And yeah, it's essentially the same thing as you guys talked about on the last show, with the addition of an idea on how we can share the boost metadata, because obviously I think, as people rightly pointed out, you know, this past week, the big issue with Bolt 11 is that most of the providers limit the character count for the memo to 200 characters. So, yeah. You know, trying to put everything that we had in the keysend TLV there kind of won't really work. So yeah, it's all there. I encourage people to play around with it, and I'm happy to kind of talk through it at a high level if that's helpful.
Yeah, you heard what we talked about last week, and you saw the comments, and I think you may have actually talked to the Albi guys this week.
Yeah,
Can you just give your overall, I've got my impressions of where we're at right now, but what do you think about where we're at?
Yeah, I'll try and give my best like high level overview and thoughts on where we're at.
Yeah. So
I guess, like, I think one thing that was maybe made this situation feel a little bit more intense than it actually is because I think there's actually multiple things happening here, and they're not actually linked. They just happen to be, you know, happening right now. And actually, it's beneficial that we do them all at once. So I guess from my perspective, there's like three things that I think we kind of need to do to take podcasting 2.0 payments and the value spec to like the next level and make it easier for more people to participate. I think the first is the onboarding issue. It's just very difficult and also confusing for people that are new to Bitcoin to kind of enter this world and send their first payment. And one of the things we've seen time and time again with Fountain is that, you know, once people get over that once people jump through that hoop, then they love it. But if you've never purchased Bitcoin before, it's very, very difficult. So I think solving the onboarding is a key piece. I think making the UX of sharing the payment info easier is also a key piece. And then finally, separating the Boost metadata from the payment is also a key piece. And I think the most important one of these is the onboarding. And it's onboarding for all of the kind of players. It's onboarding for listeners. It's onboarding for app developers. It's onboarding for podcasters. And I think the thing that's held us back is Keysend. And, you know, Keysend is amazing as a protocol, but the challenge with it is that it's not really seeing adoption outside of podcasting 2.0. You know, there's every kind of like couple of months, there's new players in the Lightning wallet space. You know, there's multinational banks that are adding support for Lightning. And every time we see one of these new wallets, the thing that they always add is the Lightning address and Bolt 11. And none of them are adding Keysend, and none of them really have a reason to add Keysend because it's just not really used outside of podcasting 2.0. I think we might be like the only, you know, people actually using it on a regular basis.
last of the Mohicans here.
Yeah, exactly. And it works really well. It's just that it's just confusing to users because, and the thing with Lightning address is that it's amazing user experience. It makes sense to people because it's just like an email address. And so all you have to say is, this is like an email address for money. Go and get one from your favorite wallet and then you're ready to go. But the issue we've had is that people would do that. They'd go and get a Strike Lightning address. They'd go and get, you know, another wallet Lightning address. And then there's that other step, which is actually, oh no, you actually need a new Lightning address, which is a Keysend enabled Lightning address. And then in order to share that with someone, you have to find the value block, like custom TLV stuff, and share that. And I think that onboarding barrier is like really kind of like holding us back. And for me, that's like a big thing to try and solve. Now, so at the same time,
let me stop yeah, you. Yeah. Oscar. So you're talking about two different sort of onboarding problems here. You're talking about the onboarding problem of just getting a listener into the micropayment Lightning ecosystem. And then you're also talking about the problem of onboarding from the standpoint of a wallet that does support the Keysend that's required.
Yeah.
And so like that, I think those are important because I think you're exactly right. There's a lot of things happening all at once and they're not necessarily connected, but you have the Keysend issue is putting a barrier in front of people that makes it even more hard. It's not the same as just onboarding somebody into a wallet to begin with, but it adds just an extra set of problems where you exclude a whole set of wallets that could have been used before that now they can't be.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think one of the most important things to kind of think about with this is that Lightning adoption is happening region by region and country by country. And actually, the best wallets for people in one particular country are often the local, you know, Lightning wallets that, you know, they're set up in that country, the team are in that country, you know, the all of the materials, the education is in that language. And, you know, that just allowing someone to download their local country wallet and have a Lightning address and then participate in all of the cool things that Lightning enables, podcasting 2.0 being one of them, is that's way easier than having to onboard to a Lightning wallet and then essentially onboard again to a different Lightning wallet and kind of like go through the whole thing again. And also, you know, even if you are able to do those two things, it just creates this kind of like friction where you're like, hold on a minute. I thought Lightning was supposed to be this interoperable thing, but actually it's not, because, you know, I thought I had a Lightning address. Like, I only need one email address. Why do I need another one for podcasting?
Before we move beyond this, and I don't know what you're seeing because you may be a bit closer to it, but here in the United States, I'm seeing the adoption of the Lightning Network, and in this case, Bolt 11 and maybe Bolt 12, but just, you know, the basic LN URL functionality of Lightning payments. I'm seeing this being integrated into all kinds of financial services. Many banks have it already, where you can deposit and withdraw money through Lightning. We've heard from PayPal, because we're No Agenda uses PayPal, and we're a customer, at least they pay attention to. They say that some Bitcoin / Lightning functionality is coming. Cash App has something that you can do with Lightning. I'm not even sure. Do you see a general move towards financial services using the Lightning Network purely for their own benefit of instant settlements and low fees and not really having to deal with counterparty risk? Do you see this rolling out more and more?
Yeah, 100% I do. And what's cool about it is there's so many different like categories of businesses that are starting to adopt Lightning. You know, you have the like, you know, I guess pure play Lightning wallets. Then you have the, you know, neobanks that are adding support for Lightning. Then you have the local exchanges in each region that are adding Lightning because it makes, you know, the purchasing of Bitcoin more valuable. Then you have like the huge companies like Lightspark, which are kind of trying to onboard even, you know, bigger kind of entities. So I think it's definitely happening. The adoption of Lightning is happening. It's just the adoption of Lightning is the adoption of Bolt 11 and Lightning Address. And that's what I think we kind of need to, you know, realign to, so that we can just say to people, all you need to participate in podcasting 2.0 is a Lightning address. You want to be added to splits? Just give me your Lightning address. You want to send a payment? You just need a Lightning address. You want to receive a payment? You just need a Lightning address.
Yeah. My own experience, earlier this week, a friend of mine who has a podcast, and you know, he was able through RSS.com to get his Albi wallet connected and all that stuff more than a year ago. But he literally had his wallet just filled with stuff, and he's like, I don't really know what to do with it. Also, I really kind of want to buy Bitcoin. And, you know, so I said, well, look at Swan, look at Coinbase, and his eyes are rolling around. The whole scanning an invoice is so counterintuitive. And so I said, well, let's set you up with the Strike wallet. And the aha moment was almost immediate. And then even though it was still consisted of scanning a QR code, the connecting his Strike to Fountain, which he uses, was, so now just everything goes through Strike, and that's my connection to my bank, and yes.
Yeah.
So that it was beautiful to see that, because he had really been struggling on how do I get this stuff out? How do I get to spend this in dollars? You know, he never really – it didn't matter how many times I showed him. A month later, be like, you know, could you help me with that wallet thing again? Because I really don't quite understand it. And now just like, oh, exactly as you said. Oh, I can use this email address, which is, you know, his first name, last name at strike.me. Says, oh, okay, I get this. And, you know, just the light bulb went on. It was beautiful to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And we see this again and again and again. And, you know, you know, Fountain and all the other podcasting 2.0 apps, like, we want to build podcast apps with cool, you know, payment experiences and other new features that elevate podcasting. We don't want to be spending our time like integrating with on-ramp providers and like,
right,
you know, integrating, you know, KYC providers and, you know, banking integrations, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's yeah. what the companies like Strike are going to do really well. And by using OAuth and also by using Nostr Wallet Connect, which I think is another great option that maintains that non-custodial option, it allows the podcast app developers to just defer that work.
Yeah.
And there's so much work there, you know, both on the technical side, the education, the support, like everything. Just defer that to the actual wallet companies. Just like we've been doing with, you know, Albi so far, and, you know, we'll continue to work with Albi. I think what they've done with the Albi Hub is amazing. And, you know, Fountain is going to add support for Nostr Wallet Connect, so you can actually log into Fountain with your Albi Hub. So we very much see it as there being two options for people to get started. You can, you know, do an OAuth connection with someone like Strike, which is going to be the like easiest first step, the most kind of familiar for users. And then once you become a little bit more advanced, you could make the decision to, okay, I want to go and set up an Albi Hub and use my Albi Hub across all of the, you know, Lightning apps that are available, and, you know, the apps support that too. So I think just giving people those two options makes the onboarding way easier.
So, yeah, so from the 10,000 foot view, I think the most, one of the most important things you said is that we have a lot of things changing at once that aren't necessarily connected, but sort of all need to be done. And
yeah,
one of the things that, so to just kind of further flesh that out a little bit, every wallet has, everybody's wallet is local. So you might have something like Chive Wallet in El Salvador, Strike Wallet, you know, in the US and where it's supported, Cash App, these various wallets that are available to people. And that's the one you would want to connect with. That also, it strikes me that extends to podcast apps as well, because each podcast app, and I think this, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think this addresses some of the things that Sam Sethi said this week, with some of the stuff that he was talking about. Every podcast app also has its own purpose and its own inner, you know, and its own sort of goals in mind. So, like, Sam has taken, what Sam has done is taken his True Fans and wrapped it in an onboarding process that's as easy as he can make it, using things like, you know, Apple Pay and that kind of thing, to top up a sort of a wallet that's obscured in what it is. So you're not, you know, it's not Lightning necessarily. You can put Lightning in, but it's not Lightning. It's a True Fan sort of like genericized token type of deal. And so, in Fountain, for you guys, you have, Zebedee on the back end. So you have some Keysend. So you're doing a lot of things like Sam. But the reason I'm bringing that is because Sam is like, well, I don't want people using True Fans as a Lightning wallet. You know, it's just not, I don't want that as the owner of this product. I don't think that's a good experience from my product. And that's completely fair and like legit. And so if you're in that, if you're in that boat like Sam is, then you have a different set of priorities on how you take care of these things versus a different app that's like, well, you know, I don't really care about that. Like something like Castomatic, you know, or the Split Kit, you know, or Curiocaster, that where it's like, well, I don't really have an infrastructure that's, you know, built for payments at all, like TrueFans does. I just want to connect to this other thing and have them sort of do the whole thing for me. It just strikes me that that's another sort of twist that makes this a little complicated. is because everybody's priorities for their own podcast app is different.
Yeah,
that makes total sense. And I think that, you know, whatever the apps choose to do in terms of, you know, features or the way that they manage payments, I think that it's just, if you want to participate in the payments that work between the apps, we're not able to do that with the fiat rails, because you essentially need like some permission layer in order to send a payment. You know, I think you could do anything you wanted within your own app, but when you're talking about paying a podcaster that from an app where that podcaster has never heard of that app, they don't know what that app is, but the payments still work, that's where you need Lightning as the, you know, payment rail between all of the players.
Well, Strike is a good example of that in and of itself, because in different countries, it's not the same Strike. I mean, like, you have payments going cross border through a crypt, you know, through either a stable coin or Lightning, but then it always just comes out through the banking system when you offboard. So, like, even within Strike's network itself, I'm sure all their transactions on the, you know, internally within their, you know, within borders is probably SQL based. When it crosses borders, it has to go through some, you know, some stable coin or Lightning. So there's and what you're saying is like, well, within each app that can be completely
independent,
you
know, yeah,
you can do whatever you want, but then as soon as it leaves your app and goes to a different app, it needs to be a common protocol. And so that would be, you know, hopefully Bolt 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bolt, I mean, the thing, you know, Keysend, I don't want to get you off your train of thought, but one of the things that I was thinking about this morning is Keysend. I mean, can you pay a one sat invoice with Bolt 11? I mean, you can pay, like, let's just take the worst case scenario, which would probably be the index, honestly. You know, we've always had a 1% split for any for things coming out of the API. It's completely voluntary, but a lot of people would send that to us, and a lot of times that ends up being like one sat. And so if you send a key send with one sat, a lot of times it works. If you're lucky enough to go through some routes that are, you know, zero base fee and that kind of thing, you'll end up with a one sat transfer. I don't know if, you can generate an LNURLP Bolt 11.
Well, let me give you my
with one sat.
Let me give you my experience. So I put a, we did some, running with scissors experiments. And so I put into the, episode 201 of Podcasting 2.0, I put a 2% split, and Eric PP did some coding, and he basically created a forked version of the boost button on Podcast Index. And so he sent 100 sats, and in my Strike wallet, which was the 2% split, I received 2 sats.
So, oh, that's good. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
So that worked. And I couldn't believe it, honestly. I'm like, what? It actually came through. So on a 100 sat transaction, and so I'm just going to presume that one sat would have come through as well.
Yeah, if you're getting two, you're getting one.
I think so. I mean, yeah, I think so.
Because you're probably zero base fee through the whole chain at that point.
Yeah.
Well, and also a distinction for people who don't understand the difference between Keysend and Bolt 11 is Keysend is generating a pre-image on the sender side. So one of the benefits of having the recipient, the receiver generate the pre-image is you actually get routing hints with that pre-image creation on the sender. So if you say, okay, I want to pay you, and your wallet generates a pre-image and sends it back, then what you're getting is routing hints all the way. So you have a more efficient, like, you're more likely to get a payment to be to go through successfully with a Bolt 11 generated invoice than you are with a Keysend, because Keysend is just has to depend on its own current graph, where it's not getting any help from the network. So that's another benefit of going with Bolt 11. I just feel like Keysend, historically, we chose that because I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think LNURLP even existed when we, in August of 2020, or if it did, it was very new, and I don't think anybody supported it yet. I think Keysend was the only way.
Yeah, I know for sure, because you could not just request an invoice. I remember it quite clearly. Because we can't have someone approving invoices or doing that the whole time. So it had to be an automatic process. And so I don't think if it existed, we didn't even know about it.
Right, it was very young or brand new or something like that, and there was no support for it. So that. Keysend was really the only option at the time, and but now that we have, like you said, Oscar, now that we have a mature Bolt 11 sort of LNURLP spec, even though I still don't like the receiver having to generate an invoice, I mean it's just where we're at, because Lights, like the way this is being done on the financial institution level, is through a thing called RTP, which means real time payments, and what groups like Lightspark are doing is they're layering Lightning on top of RTP so that traditional banking institutions can participate in Lightning transactions, but underneath it's the language they speak, which is RTP. So Lightspark puts a layer on top of RTP to do that. And so it may sound stupid it may sound sketchy to say, oh, well, traditional banks are starting to support Lightning. But it's not that they're supporting Lightning natively. They're supporting RTP and using a third party like Lightspark to make that transaction happen. And that's something that is actually getting a lot of traction. And if the Lightspark UMA stuff turns out to be solid. I don't know how much you know about that, Oscar, but if that stuff turns out to be solid and reliable as it rolls out, I mean, that really will open up all the doors.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, I would say, one example of how you could have, with Keysend, in a time period of, let's say, 1 to 2 years, I don't think you would have major banks around the world, that people are already using for their main accounts, integrating Keysend. But with things like what Lightspark are doing, you could see the major banks around the world adopting, and maybe they'll call it the universal money address, but it will still be interoperable with Lightning. And then, the onboarding problem just disappears completely, because it's just your bank account that happens to be able to speak to the Lightning network. So I think that's another example of how that's the direction everything's going in.
I think one of the things that was confusing for people who just aren't that completely into the Lightning network part was this additional LN address. And maybe you can just give us a little rundown. What exactly is the difference between LNURL pay, the LN address format, is it the same thing? Just so people can get an understanding, because the LN address came up half a year ago as an abstraction layer that Fountain and Albi wanted in order to have people keep the same payment information in their feeds, but the infrastructure providers, such as Albi and Fountain, to be able to change their nodes or whatever they needed to do.
That's a great point. And this is kind of an example of, another thing that's happening that is not necessarily linked to what we've just been talking about. But yeah, historically, the reason that, you know, ourselves and Albi wanted to make this change is so that we don't have to put actual Lightning Node pod keys in the RSS feeds, because we've had situations where we've had to move the actual Lightning Nodes and we've had to go out and try and find all of the RSS feeds that still have the old node in it and contact the podcasters and ask them to change it. And it's just like, yeah, it's very difficult. And the chances of you having to change the node pub key in the future are quite high. So to answer your question specifically though, the difference between the LN URL pay spec, which is what every single Lightning address supports, and this newer LN address options spec, and really it's just a different lookup URL. So the regular LN URL pay lookup just works in a way where you give a Lightning address and you receive back an invoice, a Bolt 11 invoice. The options lookup was just a way for us to keep supporting KeySend, but kind of give the option of paying a Bolt 11 invoice as well. It's important to say that the options lookup spec, even though both Fountain and Albi support it, is not part of the official LN URL spec. It's just something that, you know, Fountain, Albi, and, you know, Roy from Breeze was in the GitHub discussion. It's just something that we came up with. So I also think it's important to say that, you know, that's like a separate piece. And you'll see if you look at the demo code that I've put together, there's some code in there that says, like, does this Lightning address support the options lookup? And currently the Lightning address providers that support it are Fountain and Albi. So you'll see in the code, if you look at it, if it's a strike Lightning address, we're not actually using that options lookup. We're just using regular LN URL pay lookup, mm-hmm. because we know strike don't support KeySend anyway. And, right. you know, we're just going to look up the Bolt 11 invoice. Now, my hope is that we can actually get the options lookup as part of the official spec, because I also think it's helpful for when Bolt 12 comes along that you don't have to like change the way you do the lookup.
Right.
But that may or may not happen. And so I think that for, you know, all the app developers listening, you will have to do this check where you say, okay, is it, you know, who's the Lightning address provider and do they support the options lookup? But again, you look at the demo code, it's really simple to do. And, you know, the lookups are only kind of like one path parameter different. So they're very similar.
Well, and you could also just sort of do it a different way where you try the URL for the options URL first and then fall back to the LN URLP URL second without even having to have a lookup table. Yeah. I also think that the options lookup is a great idea. And I think that's why I think Roy really pushed that concept, because then you're sort of future-proofing the LN URLP lookup itself, because even beyond Bolt 12, there could be something else that happens in the future. Yeah. So you don't want to tie anything to just one particular, you know, lookup. The way to lay out the way this works is you do the, when you have an LN address in the value block split, you do the lookup, looking up that options URL that comes back with potentially three options: KeySend, LN URL, P Bolt 11 and Bolt 12. You take whichever one that you support and you pay it, preference being Bolt 11 at this point. Then you attempt to pay that, you know, then you do the look, you know, then you attempt to pay that invoice. Then, you know, you can fall back to KeySend if you need to. Then if that options lookup doesn't work, you fall back and just do a straight LN URLP lookup. So that would be your sort of payment flow there. It's just not, it, there's no way around this. Stuff's going to break over the across this, you know, across the system. Now, one of the things that Boomy got upset about was he was saying that was FUD, was that we were saying that everything's going to that all the Albie listener wallets are going to stop working on January 26th. And the listener stuff, if you moved to Albie Hub, you're not going to see anything different. You're just going to keep on trucking. Let me make that clear. But the overwhelming majority of people are not on Albie Hub as far as listeners go. Now, you know, listener wallets. Now, I would be shocked if 1% or more of Castomatic listeners are on an Albie Hub. They're almost all going to be on a custodial wallet.
Right.
And they're all just going to, it's just going to stop. It's just going to stop working. And that's just the reality of where we're at. So in that situation, a lot of stuff's going to break. Now, the podcaster side is going to be less affected by that, but it is going to be a big deal. And, you know, I don't even know if the index API, you know, I need to check that. I don't even know if the index API.
We have a lot of podcast feeds that were shimmed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Through Podcaster Wallet.
Yeah. And the partner API, which I think, Oscar, you guys use that frequently for people claiming their feed on Fountain.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have a lot of, podcasters who have, you know, set up value for value through that mechanism.
So, okay. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Chad F said the sunset date is January 4th, not the 25th.
The 4th.
I don't know. I thought it was the 25th.
We just lost 2 weeks. Oh no.
Oh, Eric PP says index API does return LN address. Okay. All right. I thought it was generic enough to take it, but, it's good to see that that's true. Thanks, Eric. So are you pushing LN address value blocks into the API now? In the index?
No. So, you know, this, because of how big a change this is, I wanted to make sure that, like, we didn't break anything in any other apps. That's why the only RSS feed that I'm aware of that actually has an LN address value block type is the Fountain Radio RSS feed. So this is, you know, I think it was last time I was on, actually, we talked about Fountain Radio, but we've rebuilt it now using a HLS stream, and it's on an RSS feed. So you can listen to Fountain Radio in any of the podcasting 2.0 apps. And it looks really cool, actually, especially the ones that support video, because we support video on it. But yeah, so the Fountain Radio RSS feed has the LN address type value blocks. So if you're listening to Fountain Radio live in Podverse or Podcast Guru, the support payments won't work. That's why we wanted to put that test feed out there to give developers a chance to, add that payment option. And we don't support the LN address type in Fountain either. So we need to do this as well. And it was a test case for us as well. But my hope is that, you know, that feed can be a test case. And if others can create test feeds as well, that would be great. And then we can try and get as many of the apps as possible to at least have the option of paying those types, and, you know, work out all of the rest of it in terms of the metadata, which is, you know, something that's important as well. And then, yeah, at least we have a test feed to go and play with that no one has listened to up until this point, because it didn't exist until, you know, last week.
Well, I'm checking, and Eric PP is right. The index does return the correct, it's ingesting LN address splits correctly. So that's good. I mean, what is your, what is your plan for what you're going to, when, how you're going to transition this in Fountain?
Yeah. So for the Fountain mobile app, I think what we'll do is just support both. So whenever somebody, sends a payment, we check the value block, and if it's a key send value block, we'll, you know, send the key send payment. And if it's the newer LN address type value block, we will, you know, pay via Bolt 11. And that should be relatively easy. And then as, you know, more people switch over on the hosting side, we can, you know, look to deprecate the key send.
Before we get deeper into the transition, we're transitioning. The important piece that is still on the agenda is the payment information. You're right, because even in our simple test with Eric PP boosting me, I got almost got all the JSON, but I didn't, because if you look at the strike limits it to 200 characters. So there wasn't, the only message was test, and it still cut off everything. So, that's been, I think, the final piece is, and it's always been a huge benefit on one hand, I feel, to have the payment information, being shot along as in the TLV record. On the other hand, there were limitations to it. It was kind of a kludge, if I recall correctly. So now we are looking at doing something different there. I think we need to spend a few minutes on that.
Yes, definitely. So, you know, from my perspective, I think that decoupling the payment from the metadata just has so many benefits. And again, it's kind of a separate thing to everything that we've talked about so far. Like, even if we were to carry on with KeySend, I still think it would be an amazing idea to separate the metadata from the payment. Because, and like, if we just like take a step back and think about the different things that we've done over the past couple of years, you know, making the boosts public in the Fountain app and displaying them under the episodes and putting them in the activity feed is something that both listeners and podcasters really, really enjoy. You know, for listeners, it's great because you can see what podcasts the people you follow are finding valuable. And then for podcasters, it's great because when people send a boost, it provides them with discovery as well as value. And so people have loved that. And, you know, I think we've always wanted to have this cross app, you know, commenting ability. And Fountain has always wanted to pull the boosts in from the other apps. And we've actually tried doing this before, but the data in the TLVs is just too unreliable because we only see the one portion of the split. So, you know, I also think that going forward, you know, just separating the payment from the metadata and kind of rethinking all of that, it opens up a world of possibilities in terms of what we can do with these payments and what we can do with the data. Because, you know, we've never really had it happen, but the only thing that tells you that this payment was sent from an app is a string in the TLV, which anyone can fake. So, you know, you could easily send, you know, a payment to one of the splits in the feed saying that the value MSAT total was 1 million sats. And then you'd have questions, you know, where's the money?
Show me the money.
Exactly. Exactly. So like, I think it would be absolutely incredible for podcasting 2.0 if we could figure out a way to reliably share the payment metadata with between all of the apps. And I also think it paves a way for cross app comments. And I think we should get to cross app comments because, you know, I think it's possible. I really do think it is. But anyway, on the payment metadata, so I'll just explain the idea that I have for this. And, you know, I've talked to a couple of the guys in the podcasting 2.0.social, and like we've spoken about this. So I've like been getting feedback on this, and I think it's a good idea. But I also want to say that like I'm open to other ideas as well, and whatever people want to do, happy to go with it. So my idea is to use Nostr to transmit the payment data. And before you think, oh no, not Nostr, this is not about the social aspect of Nostr. There's no profiles involved. There's none of that. You don't need a Nostr account to use this. It's just about using the signing capability of Nostr to allow apps to share the payments with each other. So as Fountain, we can sign a message with our private key, send that out to everybody else, and people can kind of trust that based on the reputation of Fountain. You know, Fountain will trust the Podverse pub key, the Podcast Guru pub key, the True Fans pub key.
Right.
So I think, you know, Nosta is just a public message bus, and we can put the metadata about these payments in Nosta events. We can broadcast them. Anyone can query them, and we can trust them because we trust the apps based on the reputation. And also, you know, Nosta is great for this scenario in that it is actually changeable. Like, we have the ability to, you know, create what we want rather than having to like fudge our way into some existing system. So I've come up with a structure for this, and I've just called it the Nosta generic payment event. And you can go and look at an example of this on the demo website. If you send a payment on a demo website, it will generate one of these, and you can see all of the details. Our relay is also accepting these events, so you can query our relay for them. And in this payment event, you have all of the metadata about the payment. You have all the podcast GUIDs and the information about the podcast, so you can figure out, you know, what actually was getting paid. So that's the idea for how to share the payment metadata. And then the second part of this is, if we're using Bolt 11 and we only have 200 characters of space, you know, what do we do? Because a lot of people want to send, you know, 500 character plus boosts. Right. You know, that's already a limitation of the key send TLV because we can't go higher than that. Yeah. So the other part of this, and again, the reason why I think Nosta is a great solution is because it just has these amazing primitives, these amazing like building blocks. So one of them is called NIP19 encoded values. And this actually uses the same TLV encoding as the keysend TLVs. What it does is allow you to take essentially the key information about one of these payment events and encode it as a short string. So again, this is available on the demo site, and you can see that when you send a payment, the encoded string is created and it's put into the Bolt 11 memo, and there's enough space for it. And inside that encoded string, you have all of the information you need to find that event. So you have the unique ID of the event. You also have the pub key, who published it. So you can say straight away, okay, this is from Fountain. I'm going to fetch the event because I trust the Fountain pub key. I've never seen this pub key before. I'm not even going to bother fetching it or showing it. And then you also have the relay where that event is located. So you just that one short string, you know,
the relay. That's good.
From helipad, from whatever app you're on, all you need is that string, which fits in a Bolt 11 invoice. And then you can pull back the entire payment metadata. So I think this is a really good solution. And what you'd actually see, and we've got this hooked up to the Strike wallet. So, you know, if someone sends a payment now on the demo site, what I will see in my Strike wallet is I'll just see the header podcasting 2.0 payment, and then there'll be a link to this podbay.org/p/the_n_address1. Now, the really important thing to understand about this is anyone can create these links. It doesn't have to be like this domain that I've set up as a test. We could put this on podcast index. Each app could have their own version of it. Like it, because all that really matters is the N address. And that tells you like how to find the event. And that's a way that we can kind of highlight to, okay, I have a Strike Lightning address and I see all these payments coming and I'm like, what are these payments? I'll just be able to click on the link from my Strike wallet. It will take me out to the page where it will show me all the information about the payment. Obviously, at the moment on the demo site, it's just, you know, the JSON just to highlight how it works. But you can imagine in the future, you know, that's a bit more styled. It's got the information about like which app it came from, all of that information. So, yeah, that's my view on how we should do this. We should share these signed payment events between the apps. We can trust each other based on reputation. And then for the memo field of the Bolt 11 invoice, we can put these, you know, encoded links into the memo field, which can link out to the full payment details.
Philosophical issue which came up over this. Up until now, the only people who could receive and see the messages would be the people who were in the value block split, which I've always countered by saying, well, it seems like Fountain is showing all of these that are coming from Fountain. I personally have found, I think I've talked about before, I found that nice. I liked it. And that people can then comment and do other things with it. But in general, that's always been private. And so that always comes up as well. Hold on a second. Now, everybody, although it was never really intended that way, the payment information, the message that was sent along with the payment was semi-private because, you know, it, only if you received the payment would you see it. So the philosophical question is there an issue in general amongst the community of this being now open? I personally like it because then people can start to build new applications, new thoughts, new ideas based upon this, of things we haven't thought up yet, some things we can already think up. Where do we stand with that just as a group?
Yeah, so I think, again, what's great about Nosta is we have these building blocks. And for example, there's another Nosta NIP that allows you to do this thing called gift wrap, which allows you to basically encrypt the event. So, you know, I think is we don't want to overcomplicate this potential change if it does go in this direction, but there is definitely ways that you could create one of those like payment links that is only readable by the receiver, because you would encrypt it and then only the receiver with the receiving kind of key could actually, you know, unwrap it and view the metadata. So there's definitely ways that if people want to, they can, you know, create a different version of one of these encoded payment events and have it only readable by the person that received that link, as opposed to it being, you know, publicly accessible by everyone. And that's actually, you know, better than what we currently have, because again, you know, if the splits are, you know, open by the TLV, then you can always kind of read it if you're in the splits.
Well, I also want to back up a little bit to your description of the payment proof, because, you know, let me just kind of reframe the process here. The payment happens, the splits get paid. And let's say that there's three splits that each have a Bolt 11 invoice that gets paid. There's a payment proof, which is going to be, a signed event that is created by the sending app and yep. gets put on, in this case, a Nosta Relay as an event. And then a link to that event, a public link to that event, is included as a URL in the memo field of the Bolt 11 invoice when it gets paid.
Yeah.
And then as of right now, you can just click that invoice and just to display the JSON of that. So that all feels good, but in addition, I guess I would say that this is all up to the sending app. So the sending app can do whatever it wants with this payment proof. So the payment proof, you're signing a Nosta event and then sticking it, like for Fountain's, for this example demo app, I'm assuming you're putting this on the Fountain Relay. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so then, but if you're a different app that doesn't have, like a Nosta infrastructure or whatever, you could send this in some other forum. I mean, you don't have to stick this on Nosta. You could put it out there as an ActivityPub event or whatever, as long as it's somewhere accessible to the end user and it follows this format. It's just JSON. So you could, parse this no matter where it's at. You could just put these as HTML outputs. like HTTP accessible events. They could just go on as just JSON documents on an object storage somewhere.
The creation and signing of these payment receipts that the apps sign and the distribution of them are kind of separate. You don't have to broadcast them to the Nostr network. You could just, have them, be in one particular place, or you could have them sent around privately if you wanted to.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, should that be in the spec though? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, should it be in the spec somewhere that, okay, the payment proof needs to be, if it's going to be a publicly accessible payment proof, it needs to be in the Bolt 11 memo field. I don't know that that's spelled out in the spec anywhere. You're doing it, but I don't know that it's actually in the spec written.
It's none of this is in the spec. So yeah, I guess like this is just an idea, and I've spoken to a few of the guys on this and got good feedback from it. So this is very much me saying like, here's how I think it could work. And people can play around with it. The code's open source, the demo's there.
Right.
People can play around with it, and we can keep discussing it. And this doesn't have to be the final thing that we end on. It's just kind of an idea.
But I think it kind of is the final thing that we end on, because I don't think that there is any other place to put it. I mean, like, you're just putting the URL in there to the payment proof, and it could be that you put something else. It could be that you put some other type of link in there to the payment proof, but having the payment proof linked to in the payment itself.
Yeah. That's the way. That's the way to go.
See any other way to do it.
Yeah, and the cool thing about this is it's not just a replacement for what we have, but we get more information because you're seeing like the one step above, like the you're not just seeing your split; you're seeing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what you just said was that when you see the payment proof being linked to is the payment proof for the sort of payment writ large. It's not for that particular split necessarily.
Yeah.
And that preserves the sort of the integrity of the numerology and all of that.
Yes, yes,
exactly.
Yes,
because this is exactly right. Because the problem that we were having before, and we had to remove this feature because this was happening, was we would receive a split. We would receive a payment to our BoostBot at fountain.fm split, which was like a 1%, because we said, okay, put us in the splits and we'll create the boost and display them from other apps as well. And then we would have these, big boosts come in from other apps, but one of the other splits would have failed.
Mm.
And so we would be displaying a 200,000 sat boost, but actually the main split failed.
Right.
And so that podcaster didn't get any money. And then we would be like, that would be going into our chart system. And so it just wasn't reliable. But what's really cool about these events as well. Exactly. What's really cool about these events as well is they're replaceable events. So, I won't get into how they work on Nostr, but they're really simple. Essentially, you can publish new versions of the event. And that address link that goes in the memo field, that doesn't change. It's just the actual event that changes and the D tag, which is the unique ID for the payment, that stays the same. And so what this means is, as soon as someone sends a boost in the app, you can generate one of these, you can send it out there. But then if, a bit further down the line, you have a payment error on one of the splits, you can publish a new version of this event to say that actually, no, like the amount wasn't that much, it was a lower amount. So it also gives you that flexibility to be able to, handle payment errors and, like changes to the payment.
Let me rephrase again what you just said let me translate it into human. So what you're saying is that, let's say I have a split, let's say I have a value block with three splits in it. And the share is, 33, 33, 33, 33. Then a 100 sat boost goes out and each recipient is going to get 33 sats. And initially, the event may go out now, whether it's going out to Nostr or just being published in some other way as a static file. The initial payment proof is going to reflect a 99 sat boost, and or you know whatever, however you calculate that, it's going to reflect 99. Then if one of the splits failed, you could go back and revise that to, okay, wait, no, the total was 66 instead. And that payment proof comes back. The payment proof gets changed after the fact to reflect reality instead of what we thought happened.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, I mean, this all makes sense. I mean, this all makes a lot of sense. Now, of course, and then you have this idea. Well, then you have the idea also that, let me say one more thing. So if you can't, you know, we're describing a thing that I'm looking at on the screen right now, a JSON structure that is the payment proof. I'm describing this thing that I'm looking at, but if you can't see it, it's a JSON structure that has a lot of the payment information in it, but then there's also one section of this structure that is a metadata section, and that is where the traditional, what we've been using before, the TLV, what we've always said is, you know, we just refer to it as the quote TLV record, which has like the action equals boost, which the podcast index ID, the feed URL, episode ID, all these different episode GUID, all these different pieces of metadata about the podcast being boosted, all that stuff goes into this this field in this event called metadata. So all that stuff all that stuff is preserved, but you're going to have access to the payment proof to see it. And then if you don't have the payment proof, if it's not provided in the memo, well, then you're just going to assume that the sender has no way of proving. Now you still know how many sats you got, but you can't include that payment in some sort of like a public thing, or you can't, it's not, that payment has told you by the absence of its payment proof record that it has either, that it's either fake or, that it just simply doesn't have a way to prove itself. Like it doesn't have a publicly accessible system that it's hooked into to provide the payment proof. So, I mean, this all just makes sense to me.
The cool thing is as well, is that there's two additional things about the way that this is structured. The first is because the way Nostr works, you can query on the single letter tags. And so the GUIDs are actually not in the metadata. They're in their own tags in the I tag. And that way you can query all the payments for a specific feed, a specific item, which applies to episodes and tracks, or a specific publisher as well. Right. So that means that, you know, for one app to say, give me all the payments for this episode in the last 30 days, it's literally one WebSocket query, and it's really easy. And then the metadata is, because it's just like a JSON encoded string, it's extensible. So, you know, if in 2 years, something, you know, there's some additional metadata that we want to put in there that would make this all much more useful, all of this data, then we can just update that metadata.
We should probably put a link to this payment proof in.
Yeah, it's in the show notes.
In the show notes.
Yeah, I got it in already.
Okay, cool.
So how do we transition? What is the best way? I mean, I heard Oscar say that, you know, they'll look at LN, because, you know, I currently don't really have an easy way to create an LN address, but I do have a Strike wallet. you know, so is it, do we just rip the Band-Aid off and go full bore? Or, I mean, the transition part is a little fuzzy to me still.
I think we shouldn't rip the Band-Aid off immediately, because I think that there's still, like, we can use some test feeds, like the Fountain Radio feed. You know, if anyone else wants to create a test feed with the new LN address, and just give everyone, you know, a week or so to just get their head around this, play around with it, send some test payments, have different combinations of splits, and just kind of make sure that's all working. And then maybe we can try and, like, you know, because, well, I'll give you a great example. Like, all of the podcasters that use Fountain to receive, you know, we'll have a decision to make on when to update all of those value blocks. And I definitely wouldn't want to do that until, you know, I've at least heard back from, you know, all the app developers on, you know, what they think of this and whether they're up for playing around with it. Or so I think we should give it at least a few weeks of people just having time to look through the code that I've produced, look through the page with all of the demo data and, like, basically what we've talked about today, but in text form, and we can kind of just continue the conversation on podcastindex.social to make sure we haven't missed anything.
And somebody really could create a key send to Bolt 11 gateway. You know what I mean? I mean that would be like the, you know, that would be something that Brian of London would probably attempt to do, since it's very Rube Goldberg, but it could be done. Yeah. I mean, it could be done.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I feel like for the first time in 2 years, I need a cigarette.
that's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot there, but I feel, well, you said, you know, when do we rip the Band-Aid off? I mean, on January 5th,
the Band-Aid's getting ripped off.
There is no more Band-Aids.
Yeah, the Band-Aid's gone. Right, exactly.
What if I told you there was no Band-Aid?
Ah,
you
know, okay, I mean, Neo. Like,
that's really what kind of where we're at. So this is where, here my feeling is, we're at the perfect time to break stuff, because the people who are in a position where, and that would be like you, Oscar, Sam, the people who are in a position to be affected the most, Albie as well, the people who are in a position to be affected the most financially by a Band-Aid rip are the people who also happen to be the most equipped to handle these changes.
True.
So, you know, I mean, on Fountain, you control the listener side and most of the podcaster side. Say, you know, Sam has sort of like wrapped his infrastructure with his own sort of payment paradigm. Albie also controls so much of their own infrastructure. So I think the Band-Aid rip is really going to be, it's less of a Band-Aid rip and more of like a, you know, the Band-Aid's just going to get old one day and shrivel up and fall off.
The analogies are awesome, Dave. Really good.
Yeah. I mean, do you agree with that, Oscar?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the other thing is, like, if, you know, I know, with Albie making this change, you know, this kind of like, you have to think about what you're going to do, you know, from having one set of APIs with Albie, you might now have to have two, like one with Strike OAuth and the other with Albie for the people that want to continue using Albie Hub. But like the cool thing about this is Albie, all of their APIs, as Boomy said, still work for people that have Albie hubs. So you don't really need to remove the Albie piece of this. You just can pay these Bolt 11 invoices with the Albie API. So you know, you can almost like start testing this without implementing Strike OAuth. You can just use the ALBI APIs to try paying one of these LN address types value blocks, which we have one example in the Fountain radio feed. So I think that's really important as well to like, and, you know, I've been speaking to the ALBI guys, you know, I think they understand where I'm coming from with this, and hopefully we can get them, you know, on board with pushing this change, because also it gives people the opportunity to revisit the payments in their app and also look at things like Nostr Wallet Connect as well, which I know, you know, ALBI would like more people to integrate. So I think, yeah, getting ALBI on board and just framing this as, you know, this is a great solution for the future for ALBI, for Fountain, for all of the apps, and it shouldn't be that difficult. If we can get everyone on board, then we can think about at some point, you know, maybe like early next year, making the switch.
Yeah, because that's important that it yet again, another sort of disconnected yet timing wise simultaneous thing that is happening is, you know, it's not like what we're saying is, hey, ALBI custodial listener wallets are going to be sunset on January the 5th. Everybody switch to Strike. Nobody's saying that. It's just that, that Strike ended up being a good example of a way that a independent podcast app could connect to an existing wallet and begin to use that infrastructure. Like Franco with Castomatic, I mean, Strike's not available in Italy. He can't use it. So like he can't even test. I mean, he could put in place the connectors for people outside of Italy that could, so that they could use it, but like he can't even test it in his own country. So that's not really the purpose of what we're talking about is, hey, everybody start using Strike. The point is, not everybody start using Strike, but everybody start supporting Bolt 11 so that you can then have access to a wider array of payment wallet providers.
As they come online, exactly.
As they come online, but in your like, area.
Existing, just so I get this straight, existing ALBI users who, and I'm talking on the podcast listening side, who have a custodial wallet, that's going to go away. Now, can ALBI just switch that for them and say, oh, your same ALBI credentials work, but now you have to use our Nostr Wallet Connect and you bring your own wallet. Does that work?
I don't know. I mean, it should. Yeah, because they support Nostr Wallet Connect.
Right.
It should.
Well, okay.
So that's an example where, like, you know, if ALBI could do that, then that would also really help with the transition because, you know, for examples like Italy, the other example is Zebedee as well. I know they've been talking about, you know, opening up the OAuth capability as well. So that would be a great another option. And then, if ALBI could allow you to sign up with a wallet, connect it to ALBI via Nostr Wallet Connect, and then use the ALBI APIs, kind of like, so there's like three hops for the user through ALBI to the other wallet. Like that doesn't solve the onboarding thing that we've talked about, but that may solve it for existing ALBI users that just want to kind of like continue
using. Yes. So that could be a solution for Franco. I mean, he would still have to have his users select a different wallet, wallet provider, but they wouldn't even necessarily have to change anything in their app. They could use the existing ALBI API.
Yeah, and Eric PP said I think you can connect Coinos to an ALBI account, so that would be another option. I hate that the ALBI guys thought we were FUDing them and throwing them under the bus. That's just not the case. We're just trying to be realistic and, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. And this is the right time to do uncomfortable kind of things that break stuff and get messy. So let's just go through this and get it done and will come out on the other side with something that's better for them and everybody else too.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Where are we at? Oh, we're an hour and a half. Do you want to leave it here? Have we discussed everything we need to? I mean, there's plenty more stuff we could talk about, but that can be for the next board meeting.
Yeah, I think this is probably as much as we can digest at the moment.
Now.
And yeah, I mean, Oscar, man, I so much appreciate you doing this PodPay example
for
demo
sure.
thing. This is so helpful, man. This is so helpful. I can't thank you enough for doing this because this gives all the developers instantly an ability to just look and see what this code looks like. I mean, like, thank you.
Yeah, it's really,
yeah,
that's
no worries.
Really been
I mean,
awesome.
I mean, yeah, sorry it took so long, but like, yeah, I mean, happy to help because I really do believe that all of this, you know, it just doesn't work if it only happens in one app because you might as well just go and use Spotify and have like Spotify's internal payment
right.
system. It works because it creates payments, it creates cool social features, but you can still choose to use any podcast app depending on, you know, the design or the feature set or, you know, whatever. So I think it's really important that the payments work in an open way going forward. And I hope that, yeah, we can just, I mean, I still would love it at some point. I think it would just be so cool if someone could send a boost on, like Dave, if you could send a boost on Castomatic and I could see that on the episode page in Fountain and reply to you saying, oh, cool, I'll check this episode out, add to my queue. Like that
one
would just
day,
be.
Baby. One day
that would be an incredible, incredible thing. And Spotify and Apple are just never going to be able to do that. So
no.
I just hope
they never want. They don't want. To.
They don't. No, it's not
they
in their best interest.
They don't want to. Yeah.
No.
So I hope we can get there one day, and hopefully this like sharing of the metadata is like the first step. And yeah, it's going to be. It is a change, but yeah. If any, like, just please reach out to me. Take a look at the demo code and. We don't have to do it exactly in this way. Like this can hopefully be the start of the conversation and we can arrive at something that works for everyone.
And if anyone wants to test, it's Fountain Radio. What's the URL for that?
Yeah. So it's fountain.fm/radio. And you can also listen in the mobile app. So yeah, check out Ainsley's actually doing a live takeover now.
Oh, nice.
We have the ability for artists to take over. So yeah, jump over to Fountain Radio and also, yeah, like app developers, use the Fountain Radio feed because it's just a live item. It works in the same way as a regular live item, but obviously the value block is in this new format. So yeah, use Fountain Radio as your test feed and hopefully you'll discover some good tunes whilst you're working away.
Excellent. And I'm going to leave my strike split in the podcasting 2.0 feed if anyone wants to hit that, and I can provide instant feedback as well.
Oh, okay.
I suggest we forego the value for value thanks here and move that towards the next show, if that's okay with you, Dave.
Oh yeah, sure. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because, well, you know, it's, you had an hour and a half. You've got your family. I don't want you rushing. I'm falling down. I haven't had breakfast.
And
the donuts suck today in the boardroom. I'm really sorry. I'll get a different provider.
it's those cake type instead of the yeast.
It's not my favorite. Yeah, not my favorite. And the scones that Oscar brought, you know, I ate all of those in a minute. You know, it's like done. Oscar, brother, thank you so much. Thank you for jumping on this. We really appreciate it. I'm so grateful that you see that we need the whole, you know, the whole group in on this. We need to build, a whole force and an army, and it's not just Fountain. That really says a lot about you, my brother. It really does.
Well, yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate everything you do. And looking forward to working through all of this. So, yeah, thanks so much for having me on again.
All right. Boardroom, thank you for those of you who showed up so early. Dave, brother, have a great Thanksgiving gathering with the family. And
I will.
I'm sure they're looking forward to hearing all about the board meeting. They'll want to know every detail.
We're going to get pretty deep into payment proofs at around the table today.
All right, everybody.
The JSON for everyone.
Yeah. Thank you all very much for being here in the boardroom. We'll see you next Friday for Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Your dog caught on fire.